So a little bit of the context of this verse. So anytime I'm learning a new verse, I always want to know the context of where it came from. So I will write for you, and you don't have to write this on your card, but this is one thing you'll learn throughout this whole seminar is there's nothing prescriptive. There's nothing you have to do it this way. We're going to have a ton of different voices who all do it a little bit differently, but I will share with you my way. I like to write the context. So the context I wrote on my card is Malachi is a prophet who speaks to the Jews who had returned from exile and now are in Jerusalem. From a section in the text where Malachi addresses their unfaithfulness to God and serves to remind the people that God is still steadfast, merciful, and faithful to his promises. He doesn't change. So this particular verse, which is going to be our souvenir for today, we're going to all walk away with this memorized by the end of the day, which you really will. Maybe you already have it memorized early. This, to me, undergirds so much of the reason of scripture memorization, because the promises that we're going to see in the Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, New Testament, they're still true today because the Lord does not change. And that is a huge value to me in memorization because we're all busy people. We all have a lot of demands on our time. And what makes scripture memorization so worthy of our time is that it will last us a lifetime because the Lord does not change. He will still be the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the truths that we learn about him and his word, the truths that we hide in our heart, those are still going to be relevant. Right now in 2022, in 2062, they're going to be relevant to our kids, to our grandkids. So these truths are worth knowing and hiding in our heart and passing on to the next generation because they will always be true. You know, they will absolutely always be true. Any nonfiction book we pick up or fiction book or TV show we watch, those are great and enjoyable, but very rarely will they still be relevant. I think a question that often comes to my mind is, does anyone remember the name of the 30th Vice President of the United States? Anybody? No. But he was very important in his time. He was the Vice President of one of the most powerful countries in the world, and literally nobody knows his name. But these verses and these pieces of truth that we're going to hide in our heart, they will be relevant forever. They will still be relevant in 100 years, in 200 years. So anyway, now that we've gotten started there, I'll introduce myself. You're like, who is this crazy woman who is upstairs speaking to us? And I don't even know who she is. So my name is Caitlin Wilson. I actually just started scripture memorization a year ago. And a huge part of why I started was, let's see if I can flip back to this so you guys can see the image. This particular picture right here, this is the stock photo that went up for the announcement that went out to the church. And for me, I almost had to laugh out loud when I saw the stock photo because for me, this picture represents something that I have never been able to consistently achieve. And that means, okay, I'm so glad all the young moms in the room can laugh and reckon. I told my husband this joke and he did not get it because it is not relevant to him. But to me, this is a woman who is dressed in something that's not athleisure. She has her hair down. She has a cup of coffee that looks like it's still hot. And she is at a table and reading the Bible, getting to feast on God's word. And that is for me. I had 4 children in 5 years in my life. They're still all really little. I only have 1 in school. So my life is busy. You know, it's really, really busy. So I was up at 4 o'clock this morning, not studying the word, but I was up with my 2-year-old who's teething. So this picture has just never, ever, ever been, not never, ever, but in the last recent memory, that has not been relevant to me. But the beauty of scripture memorization is that even if I'm not getting up with my hot cup of coffee and feasting on the word, I can always have a verse in my pocket. So whenever I'm up, when I'm with the teething baby, or when I'm washing dishes, or when I'm going to the park, when I'm driving, I can be with God in that Deuteronomy 6 way, right? So that's whenever we're at home, when we're on the go, when we wake up, when we rise, when we go down. We can literally put it on our wrist. We can put the letters or the verse on our wrist, as a frontlet on our wrist, on our eyes, on the doorpost of our home. So for me, this has been incredibly powerful, a wonderful way for me to get to spend time with the Lord and to get to know more about who God is and to study the word while I am out and about and while I'm engaging in my other responsibilities. So anyway, I just wanted to chuckle. I'm glad that some of you guys can relate to that. I told that to my husband, and he did not understand it at all. And maybe some of you guys who are in a different season don't understand it either when you're a little older, but getting dressed with a hot cup of coffee and feasting on God's word for an hour is not something that currently fits into my responsibilities. So my day. Okay, so today, just to give you a little bit of an overview, we're going to do a Q&A with 2 of my mentors, Joyce and Hunter. They're amazing. You guys are going to learn so much from them. We'll have a little short break, so if you can save your wiggles till then. And then we're going to do a little how-to seminar to give you all the practical tips. And then we're going to have a panel interview with a lot of women who've all been memorizing between 1 and 5 years, and they are going to give you guys some of their best encouragement and tips. So with that said, let's quick link. Just, I'm going to keep this on the screen, and then you're going to have this, your verse in your lap. Anytime you have a minute where, like, you're feeling a little distracted or you just think of it, just look down and just read that verse, okay? So just read the verse, just have it there, and just read it and look over it. And I think that'll help to assist us as we go on just to memorize it. So just take it there, look at it, read it. So even now, while we're going to bring Hunter and Joyce up to the stage, just take a minute and just look at your verse. All right, coming up. I feel like it deserves applause because you guys are so amazing. Yeah, I'll sit in the middle, wherever.
We are in this together.
Okay, your mic. All right, awesome. Okay, so quick intro to who these amazing women are. Joyce and Hunter. So I knew Hunter from our personal training days. Our husbands used to work together. And we, because we were both, how often do you get to work out now? Probably way less. Yeah, exactly. We used to, same thing. We used to spend hours together in the gym lifting. I mean, and now we're the same thing where we just go for a walk with our kids. So life has gotten a lot busier. And so one thing I would take away first, background of her, you do an amazing podcast, amazing Instagram feed, amazing books. You're raising 4 kids with your incredible husband. You're amazing. And one thing I know about Hunter, before I even knew really how much you memorized scripture or how much you've been in the Word, was just you were so wise. And one of the takeaways that I had when I first met you was like, wow, this girl, I mean, you're really strong and you could lift really heavy weights. That's how we met. But I was like, man, she's just dropping knowledge bombs and wisdom. And it's the same thing with Joyce. She's like, I didn't realize that the wisdom you were sharing with me was from the Word. You know, I think I just thought you were really smart, but now I know it. You are also really smart, but it is all from the Word. There's a great Winston Churchill quote that says, let the ignorant man read a book of quotes because then he can just quote them. And I sometimes think for me, I'm like, man, I maybe don't have the brain power, but I can memorize scripture and recite it. And then Joyce, I met you through Hunter, and you've been memorizing for 40 years, and you are just such an effective mentor and friend. Even before when I first met you and I mentioned you around town, because I'm new, I'm not from Arkansas, people would say, oh, Joyce Lassie, I know her. Like, I'm like, how do you know Joyce Lassie? Like, well, she mentored girls in my sorority, or I knew people, you know, in Fayetteville who knew her, because you've just walked so consistently with people and just shared the gospel and mentored them and been a big sister to so many people. I'm so grateful. So anyway, these are amazing women, and we're going to get started. Okay, so Joyce, how did you first get started with scripture memory? And do you remember your first verses?
This is me? Okay. Well, first of all, I'm glad you guys are here. Thanks for coming. We're just here to kind of talk about our journey. And before I even answer that, I just want to throw out, when Peter wrote the second letter of Peter, in the very beginning, he said, I'm writing this letter to those of you who have received a faith as precious as ours. So mm-hmm. I feel like we're talking to people who have received a faith as precious as ours. And he talks about that faith, and he says And through the Word, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And I feel like God has given us that in His Word. And then He says, I know you know these things, but I think it's only right that I refresh your memory. So a lot of the things we'll say today, you know these things. And Peter even said, and you're firmly established in them. So we know that you know them. You've received a faith as precious as ours. We know you're firmly established in these things. But Peter said, I think it's right that we remind you. And then we bring it to your attention yet again. So with that said, that's kind of what we're doing. And right after that, Peter says, we're not drawing these things from cleverly devised stories that we've heard. When you hear from the larger panel, we haven't like worked on a database and we've done some research on scripture memory. And we're going to tell you these theories that we've come up with. It's like we were personal witnesses. We were eyewitnesses of Jesus. So we're telling you just how the scriptures have literally touched and transformed our lives, where they've altered the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we act. So that's how it started for me. I wish I could say I went to a scripture memory workshop, and then I started memorizing scripture when I was 20 years old, but that's not what happened. I was in college at the University of Arkansas and had gone through a really dark semester. And dark semester when you're in college sometimes just means you broke up with a boy. So that's what was happening in my life. And I know relative to life problems in the real world, that was not really the real world. But nonetheless, it was a dark semester for me. And I was really struggling. And I wasn't just struggling just with how I'm going to get through this, but I was struggling with, Lord, what does the Bible say about dating? I don't think I did it well. I don't think our Christian culture does it well. I don't think our culture does it well. So I just kind of began this journey, kind of this lonely journey through Scripture to say, what can I find out about relationships? And God brought me to Psalm 119:92, which says, if your word had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. So in my journey of trying to heal and trying to get over the boy relationship and trying to figure out what God had for me, I realized if I don't make your word my delight, then I will not make it through my affliction. So wherever you are today, you may be, you know, just frustrated because the guy in front of you had the audacity to go to the speed limit this morning, you know, frustrating. Or you may be at the deepest level of your darkest providence. I don't know where you are, but I can say that Psalm 119:92 is applicable to you in your everydayness, that if you do not find delight in his word, then you won't make it through your affliction. So God took me from that to Psalm 119:71, which says, before I was afflicted, that's Psalm 119:67. 71 says, it's good for me that I was afflicted that I might learn your statutes. So I feel like God was using my affliction and my darkness and my loneliness and my wandering that semester to really teach me of himself, and he did. So I kind of started scripture memory. I didn't really mean to. You know, you get into things good and bad, and you can say, well, I didn't really mean to do that. Didn't really mean to get addicted to that, or I didn't really mean to start running marathons. I was just running a 5K with a friend, but then you really got into it, or lifting, or whatever it is. You know, we kind of by default get into things. So I can say by default, I got it by default. But by God's providence, I got into scripture memory. And it has been the thing of 40-plus years that's changed my life. I think it's great to listen to podcasts, and I do that. I'm part of a community group. I'm part of a local church. I go to women's Bible studies. I do all those things. Disciple girls, yes. I have a mentor myself. All of those things. But if you had to ask me, what is the one thing that God has used for 40-plus years to keep you, and I would say it's scripture memory. It's been meditating on his word. Mm. It's been reflecting on what he has said. It's been asking him to take his truths and touch and transform me and make me a different person in an ongoing way. So I could walk you through 40 years, and I'm not going to do that because I know Caitlin has other questions for me. So that's where I started. I started with that. I flipped to 1 Peter 5:9, which says the same experiences of suffering have been accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. So I thought, I don't know anybody going through what I'm going through, but I know somebody is, and they're being accomplished. Somebody's making it through it. So that's where I started. I was sharing with Heather and Shelley, who wrote up with me today, from Fayetteville, who've been in a Fayetteville group that we've done for several years. My latest memory verse I just put in my journal is Psalm 71:18, which says, even in my old age, do not forsake me until I've declared your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to those who follow me. Mm-hmm. So I am still at it. You know, I'm still saying, even at age 64, I want to declare your truth to the next generation. And it's been a joy to do that. As far as method for me, we all have our methods, but for me, I just began writing it in a journal. So I have a scripture memory journal. I brought one of them with me today that's worn and coffee stained and pages are falling out of it. But I was a college student, so I thought, well, in class, I have to write down notes, so I'll maybe remember what the professor said, so maybe I'll pass the test. I thought I probably should be writing these verses down somewhere. So I just began writing the verse in a journal. I didn't journal about them. I didn't it wasn't a commentary. It was just, I just wrote the verses down. And then through the years, I had no idea that I would look back 40 years later and say, wow, that's a journey of my life. I can remember when God gave me that verse. I remember the person I prayed for. So it's like when I have a dark and down day, a long and lonely day, I go get my journal out, and I go back and reread those verses, and I remember God's faithfulness and his unchanging nature to me personally through the years. And it just lifts my spirits. And like I say, it has kept me. It's kept me remembering God is faithful to me, even in the loneliest season and the darkest days. So I love scripture memory. I'm glad you're here. That was a long answer. Sorry, Caitlin.
But it's amazing.
Probably more than you bargained for.
You're so enthusiastic about it. And I think that's always just a great reminder is you are doing all of these spiritual disciplines, but scripture memory, you always say, is the thing that holds you fast. And even Clark, your husband, who went to like a super top seminary and knows Greek and Hebrew, still says, Greek and Hebrew, whatever, that's fine. Scripture memory, that's the thing. You know, going to seminary, yeah, that's fine. Scripture memory. And I think it's something that's accessible to all of us. But we kind of just...
And he truly says that. And he is a Hebrew and Greek scholar. And he says it's my scripture memory that has taught me more about the Bible than the original languages and a four-year degree at seminary.
It's amazing. Hunter, what about you? How did you get started?
You know, there's been so many different catalysts for me when it comes to being inspired to hide God's word in my heart. I think my mic might not be on. Can you guys hear me? They can hear me. So many different catalysts for me, and Joyce is one of them. Joyce and I interfaced when I was in college, and she had heard that I had a passion for scripture memory, and so we got connected in friendship through our shared affection for God's word, which is such a gift. And I also had a grandmother who really loved God's word, and I will tell you, I never forgot the day that I saw her. Apologies if I cry for this. You've already got me emotional, Joyce. It's okay. We're all girls. So, you know, she had just lost her husband spontaneously, and it wasn't due to old age. He had had a car accident, and it just so happened that it was, I think, 35 years to the day that her son had committed suicide. And so she, at the kitchen table, began quoting from Habakkuk, and she quoted the verses, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the produce of the olive fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places." And watching her just have the word spring forth from the depths of who she was in her moment of grief was yet another catalyst for me to think and consider, how am I going about the work that's required of me today to hide God's word deep in my heart so that I can grow into a woman like my grandaunt or like my mentor Joyce? And so there's so many different ways that I could talk about this, but after hearing you share, that's what I'd like to share today. I am just living every day thinking about wanting to be 60, 70, 80 years old and be able to invest in the next generation as these older women have so invested in my life. And scripture memory, I think, is one of the best ways that we can go about doing that.
I feel like that's the conversation you and I have been having a lot recently, is just we're entering into the season where we're in our 30s and we're like, where do we invest our energy and our time? Mm-hmm. And the one thing that we really can invest in that is going to continue to produce fruit is to seek wisdom and the author of all wisdom, which is God. And that's one thing, again, it's so inspiring, is to see like, what is it, what am I going to look like when I'm, you know, 50, 60,
64.
80. 64, exactly. I know.
You can say it. It's okay.
Well, what about hard times? I mean, I feel like I know both of you guys are no stranger to hard tasks, both taking on difficult challenges and then just hard things have happened in your life. Has scripture been a stabilizer or a strengthen for you guys?
You want to hit it first or me? Okay. You know, as a mom of four kiddos, I feel like every day is a journey for me. It feels like a lifetime. I feel like I have hardships in and through every moment of my day. It's a journey, you guys. And so scripture meets me at various points on that journey as I go throughout the day. You know, when I'm stressed out and I feel like I've got no help, I remember Psalm 121, verse 1, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. When I'm cleaning up Legos for the umpteenth time, I remember Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. When my baby wakes in the middle of the night, yet again, I remember Psalm 119:62. I rise at midnight to thank you for your righteous judgments. When I feel like I'm actually dead at the end of the day, Romans 8, verse 11, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. If he could raise Jesus from the dead, he can help me in this moment. You know, when I feel stressed about finances or when I'm scrolling on Instagram and I just find myself wanting more and more, I remember Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. When I'm filled with grief over the loss of my dad recently, I remember, my soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. when I'm discouraged by ministry, especially the ministry within the four walls of my own home, I remember Psalm 3:3. You are a shield around me, O Lord, my glory and the lifter of my head. Lord, lift my weary head. Mm. There's so many things I could say, but these are just a few ways that scripture memory practically allows me to apply the truth of scripture to the hardships that I face throughout my days.
I love that. What about you? You've had 64 years. Has anything hard happened? Have you done anything hard in 64 years?
We're talking about 64. I don't know.
Do you remember? No. I'm just
tough crowd. Okay. Man. Yeah, I'm gonna answer that with another scripture. Sorry, this is just how God sustains me. Isaiah 46:8-11. And that's Isaiah speaking, and he says, I want you to remember this and be assured. I want you to recall it to mind. So remember and recall something. That means you've got to be probably meditating on it and thinking about it, that you're able to remember it. So I want you to remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind. Remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I'm God and there's no one like me. I've declared the end of your life from the beginning. And things which have not been done, saying, I will accomplish all my good pleasure. I've planned it. Surely I will do it. So that's one of the things I go back to just in a hard season, whether it's with raising children, that's hard. Teenagers, that's hard. Adult children can even be hard. I mean, you know, they're just things. Life presents itself as one hard after another. And we all have our sets of those things, that our set of hard, whatever that looks like in your life. And I think coming back and remembering, I am God and there is no other. Job 42:2 says, I can do all things. I know you can do all things, and no purpose of yours can be thwarted. So when it seems like the enemy is thwarting purposes in my life, he's not, because God can do all things, and his purposes in my life will not be thwarted by what it would look like that the enemy is doing. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me, and I'll answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. There's still many things I don't know. I was sharing with this morning on the way up here, and actually last Friday at group, a passage that I'd memorized probably 10 or 12 years ago in John 13. And God just opened up a whole new depth to that passage that I'd meditated on for 10 or 12 years that I had never seen before. And I thought, you just can't get to the bottom of God's word. You can't plumb the depths of it. You can't finish it off and say, now I've got this. I've got this memorized, or I understand this passage, because it's just deeper and deeper and deeper. So, yeah, hard things in life, I come back to the word. I know that sounds like just a pat answer, but I really do. And that's what my journal is full of. And it's full of going back and remembering those hard days or those hard seasons, those hard moments, and remember what God did and how he sustained me. And it just lifts me. It's like, I'm God and there is no other. That's an amazing verse, the Malachi 3:6. Mm-hmm. I, the Lord, do not change. That's the basis for everything you do in life. That's why you pray for your children, is because he's God and he'll never change. You know, that's the reason you share the gospel. That's the reason you sing a worship song. That's the reason you worship him, praise him, right, Heather? Is because I, the Lord, do not change. And you're worshiping and praising a God who is in the heavens, and he does what pleases him. So. Mm.
I love that. Okay. What about, so some people in this room have memorized a verse or two before. Where would you say, for someone who's never done a verse before, where would you start? They're like, okay, yeah, I did this workshop. I'm going to go home. I'm going to memorize a verse. I've already got my one verse. I want to do my
Malachi
second
3,
verse.
6.
Yeah, okay, so we've got Malachi 3:6. Okay, yeah. Everyone's got one verse. What would you say for that second verse? They want to keep going, because, like, I mean, you guys are kind of always memorizing verses consistently. It's not something you do once a month. You know, you were always memorizing something. So if they were wanting to kind of continue that role of just, I want to always be memorizing something, I want to be meditating on his word day and night, always memorizing something, what would you say, like, after Malachi 3:6, what do you do?
I think the beautiful thing is, you know, 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture is breathed out by God. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That's all scripture. So you can start anywhere. Like, none of this is going to return void.
Yeah.
So you really can start anywhere. But having spoken about this many, many times, I find that women often, they don't have a place to start, and then it stops them from starting. Mm. And so if you were going to force me to nail down, like, where would I suggest you start? I think there's a lot of different ways you could go about it. One is just to consider what you're studying in Scripture right now, and maybe to take a few key verses that really minister to your heart through your Bible study and to commit those to memory. I think another way to go about it is to choose a passage that you really love, that you just keep finding yourself going back to. Like, I've always wanted to memorize this Habakkuk passage, and I actually haven't committed it to memory yet. That's a great one that I should start memorizing so that I can tell that story like a little bit in a more compelling way, and so that I can find, you know, the same hope, bolstering hope that my grandmother found in those verses. And then I found that another really easy place to start is the Psalms. The Psalms are the songbook for God's people, and I have found through memorizing them with my kiddos that they are very easy to commit to memory as opposed to like something from a Pauline epistle, for example. So we started just verse by verse memorizing Psalm chapter 1. It's only 6 verses in length. If you're wanting to grow into memorizing a passage of Scripture that's a little bit longer, not just one isolated verse, I think it's a great place to start. That would be my suggestion if you were going to nail me down. But really, there's no bad place to start.
Yeah, I would echo that. Psalm 1 was one of my first verses, and it was just a pleasure to memorize. It's really enjoyable, but specifically, it's like you need to find something that speaks to your heart. What about you? What do you think?
Oh, I agree with that totally. I think wherever you are is a great place to start. I know that we're in a part of the panel that will be up here in a few minutes. They're part of a little group that we meet on Fridays, and we've been walking through the Old Testament. So they've actually memorized a verse from, of all things, Leviticus. You know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I mean, every book of the Old Testament, they've so far up to Ezekiel, right? Is that where we are? From Genesis to Ezekiel, we've memorized verses in all those books, and you think, well, I would never go to look in, through Lamentations or the book of Judges for a verse to memorize. How could that encourage my heart? How could I bring that into 2023? You know, but it's true. You can. It doesn't matter where you are. And I agree with Hunter, too. I think the if you're just at a really, I'm not really in a Bible study. I'm not really reading anything right now. I really don't know where to start. Go to Psalms. I mean, Psalms, there's so many Psalms that say, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. We're all looking for that blessing that the psalmist is talking about. We're all looking for that experience in life that brings self-satisfaction, that brings us contentment, that brings us joy. The world's looking for that. We're all looking for those circumstances or those things. And the Word of God says, blessing comes to the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the path of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And on that law, he what? Meditates day and night. And he is like a tree planted by streams of water. And it goes on and on.
It's such a picture of Eden right there. You know, it's amazing to think like that's what it was like, was being with God, you know?
Yeah,
so
that's right.
I love that.
So I think you'll find, too, that I think as you do that, that Scripture, it, when I was saying we're just eyewitnesses of a story where God's transformed our lives, Scripture becomes like a framework. You talk about a worldview. Scripture becomes a framework, like the way you see things. It's like it becomes the lens through the way you see all of life. It becomes a parameter in which you operate in. Yeah. So you want it, just by feeding yourself on that, it just becomes the way you look at life and the way you see things. So it just it's so transforming. It's just it's not even a to-do list that I really need to do that today. I haven't done my scripture every day. But it's like, no, I want my heart to be changed. I want to see life differently. I want to see it through the lens of Scripture. I want to see it through the within the framework of God's creation and God's purposes in life. And I want to live in those parameters rather than the parameters that the world tells you to live in.
Just really good. Okay, Joyce, you touched a little bit on the Old Testament. Like I said, we're all in a group that we've been doing this on Fridays, and we have memorized. I honestly, before this group, had never even read all of Leviticus, and I definitely didn't think I would be memorizing verses from Leviticus because they would become so special to me. Would you speak to the value of the Old Testament? Because I don't think I'm alone here, and that's probably not the first place I gravitate towards when selecting verses to meditate on.
Yes, that is a good question. Caitlin told me she would ask me probably something like that. And I said, I might explode on that one.
It's
so you think I'm long-winded on my other answers. I'm going to try to, you know, keep this one down.
Get you started on the Old Testament.
Don't let me start it on the Old Testament. Well, first of all, let me just say the Old Testament period of time covers about 1,500 years. The New Testament period of time covers about 100 years. So I could just say enough said, right? This is 1,500 years of God's faithfulness to his people, of his promises to his people, of him fulfilling his promises to his people not fulfilling their promises to him, and of him being patient and long-suffering and persevering with his people. That's the Old Testament. That's 1,500 years worth. 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. I mean, just that alone speaks volumes, right? Just the year. So if we disregard the Old Testament, we're disregarding so much of history. Hmm. The verse you used in 2 Timothy 3:16, when Paul said, all scripture is inspired by God, Paul is writing the New Testament when he's saying that. So what's he referring to? He's referring to the Old Testament, that all scripture is inspired by God. But Paul also wrote Romans. So Romans 15:4, when he said, everything that's written in the past was written to teach you so that through the encouragement of the scriptures, you might have hope. That's Paul again. He's writing Romans. So what's he referring to? He's referring to the Old Testament. So Paul thought it was important. So if you don't want to take Paul's word for it, how about Jesus? Luke 24, you go to the last chapter of Luke, and that's when Jesus has died, buried, resurrected, and he's with the disciples on the Emmaus Road, and he's talking to them. They don't really know who he is at first, and he says, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them all that was written about him in the Old Testament. And he said he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And it was that through the, I think, the breaking of bread and that incident that they finally realized who he was. So Jesus is saying, let me tell you about who I am in the Old Testament. So we have Paul and Jesus saying those things. Would 1,500 years of God's faithfulness to his covenant people. We see that. If you look at how the Old Testament is written, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Book 5 is Deuteronomy, written by Moses. And Moses takes a break, kind of a break, and just says, I'm going to go back and just take Deuteronomy, the whole book, to retell you your history. I want to remind you of where you've been, where you've come so far. And he reminds them of their history and reminds them of God's laws. Moses thought that was important, that let's take a look back and do that. Then you get through the Judges and through the era of the kings, and then you get to 1 and 2 Chronicles. Ezra writes 1 and 2 Chronicles, and he says, I'm just going to take you back and look. I'm going to recap the era of the kings. I'm going to do that again. You get to Nehemiah. Nehemiah gets to chapter 9, and it's the most complete retelling of the Old Testament. If you want to read one chapter and get the Old Testament, read Nehemiah chapter 9. Mm-hmm. And Nehemiah retells the whole Old Testament in one chapter, in Nehemiah chapter 9. In verse 33 in there, he says, in all that's happened to us, you have remained righteous and you've acted in faithfulness. I think that should be our testimony. As we retell our story to future generations, we should be able to say, in all that's happened to us, we have remained righteous and you've acted in faithfulness. That's Nehemiah's story. So just by virtue of the way the Old Testament is written, it speaks for itself in that way. So I love the Old Testament. It's a rich and vivid expression and window into the character of God. I love the New Testament too. I don't think it's better. I don't think I prefer one to the other. But I just love it. It's rich.
And that's just such a great reminder too. It's like we will never run out of pieces of scripture to memorize and to meditate on. And I know, at least for me, when I first kind of heard about scripture memory and thought, oh, that's cool, I probably would have focused on the Pauline epistles. And I realize now, I'm like, those are actually pretty difficult pieces to memorize because it's doctrine, and that's harder. Whereas there's so many stories in the Old Testament that actually you can memorize well, or obviously the Psalms and the Proverbs. So it's just a great reminder, like when meditating, especially the Old Testament, is something worth pulling on and thinking about.
True, and I think looking at the Bible, just if you look at it, yes, we have Old Testament, New Testament. Testament just means covenant, so God's old covenant, God's new covenant. But really, the Bible is one book.
We have one story.
It's one story.
Yeah.
It's one author, really. 40-something authors, I think, composed it. But really, one author. It's God speaking. God's the speaker. Paul's the writer. God's the speaker. Moses is the writer. God's the speaker. Joshua's the writer. So God's the speaker. It's one story. It's one subject. And it's just one book. The one subject is Jesus. So and Jesus is throughout. Because he explained to them all that was written about him in the Old Testament.
I love that. I feel like we've heard of like the red letter Bible, where it's just the words that Jesus said. But it's like, well, really, especially for those of us who are in the Trinity study this semester, it's all God's words. The whole Bible is red letters. It's all spoken by God. Okay, so quick segue. Hunter, I feel like in our generation, and maybe this is true for everyone, but I know especially for young people, there's a lot of what I would call like Bible adjacent content that we can, you know, maybe utilize for our quiet time or for our time with the Lord. That's listening to podcasts, for listening to worship songs, for listening to a devotional written by XYZ. I know often people say, I love this study by her or this podcast by, you know, her or him. Would you speak to the value of just straight scripture, just the word in this book, as opposed to the Bible adjacent content?
Well, this is on par with Joyce's last answer of loving the Old Testament and her story about Deuteronomy. I remember whenever I was in college, she would hold her Bible in the palm of her hand and place the other one on top. Mm. And with all the conviction she could muster, she would say, "This is no empty word for you. This is your very life." And I really thought that was an original quote until I read Deuteronomy and I realized, wow, Deuteronomy 32:47, "This is no empty word for you. This is your very life, and by it you will live long." Yeah. So this is not just words on a page like a book that we'd read. These words are living and active. They actually have the power to divide soul from spirit and to help us discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's Hebrews 4, verse 12. It's breathed out by God, as we've talked about. It's profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. It's actually the only book that we could read that would actually have the power to sanctify us and to make us look more like Christ. That's John 17:17. It keeps us from sin. This is Psalm 119:11. "I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you." You know, the trends of culture, even Christian culture, are always changing. And yet, God's word remains firmly fixed in the heavens. It is not going to change. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. You know, I think about this story. My husband did 8 years of military service, and at one point in his military career, we were only able to communicate via written letter. He was in a program called Ranger School. Oh, man. And we would get a letter from the guys about once every week. And so you can imagine how quickly I would go every time the mailman came to the mailbox to check for that letter. And once a letter arrived, I did not read it one time. I read it over. Excuse me. And over and over again. And I didn't read it over and over because I didn't know what it said. I read it over and over because behind that letter, there was a person. There was a person who I loved. And I wanted to know everything that was in that letter, dot, line, and tittle, because of him. And so likewise, we have been given this letter. And there is a person behind every word of this book. And so my encouragement to you is to remember that unlike a podcast, unlike a book, you know, these are all people that will come and go, like you mentioned with the Vice President of the United States, the 30th Vice President of the United States. I love that. But we want to draw near to the person of Jesus Christ. And this is the means by which, one of the means by which he's given us to do that.
I love that. Okay, so what would you guys say to someone who has tried and failed? Because I will say, I've told a lot of people about this workshop. I'm like, it's so great. You got to come. And to a person, wow, that sounds so great. I am so bad at scripture memory, or I used to do it and I forgot all of them. I've tried and I always fail. I can never seem to remember them. I'm not very good at it. What would you say to someone who just has a bad memory, or they're really busy, or I don't know, they're just like, I love this. This is so cool. I'm so inspired, but I can't do it.
Well, just quite honestly, I'm in a season like that right now, and so I hope that I might be an encouragement to you. I've been working to memorize a passage of scripture, and I feel like because of the lack of sleep that I'm getting and just a lot of sickness in our house, hi Jen, I haven't seen you, I just haven't been able to make connections, and I haven't been able to remember things like I once did. And so if you're feeling discouraged, you're not alone. I actually find a lot of encouragement from the psalmist in Psalm 119. You know, you guys have probably heard that verse about like sweeter than words or sweeter than honey to my taste. So I think when we think about Psalm 119, we think about this kind of giant who just loved God's word so much. But if you read that passage, which I would strongly encourage you to do, you will also see that verse that I referenced earlier where it talks about my life is down in the dust. Give me life according to your word. You'll see, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. You'll see all these different verses that can be a great encouragement to those of us who feel like things are really clunky and awkward when we're beginning or continuing in this journey of scripture memory. So that's my encouragement. And then my other encouragement is just to pray and ask God for help. I think I often neglect that and feel like I have to, you know, kind of muscle my way up and do better. But I can ask the Lord for help. And I think Psalm 119 is a great catalyst for prayer if you find yourself in a similar season to me right now.
And you even, I'm thinking, yes, we have lots of people who have like little babies, they're newborn, they're currently sleep deprived. What about people who are 64 or older, maybe people who are 75? I think we have some people who are in their 80s maybe. Like, you have led a group of older women, right, in scripture memory.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
some of them were like, yeah. I can't do this. I'm 80. There's no way I'm going to learn anything new.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was in New England, it was during COVID. There was a group from my church. We didn't have a Bible study going because COVID surprised everybody. And so I said, hey, what if we just get together and we meet on Zoom? And it was really interesting feedback to receive from a lot of the ladies that they actually didn't think that they could memorize scripture because their brains, you know, they felt like their brains had atrophied, which I can totally identify with, and I'm only 35 years old. And they were surprised by how much they were actually able to retain if they put forth the effort to memorization. Mm. And there's even like scientific research, like those neural pathways, you need to be just doing it and practicing. Mm. And it's kind of like, you know how yeah. older people kind of do crosswords and stuff like that to try and get those neural pathways working. Well, you can do that and kind of redeem that practice by, doing it with scripture, if yes. that makes sense. So, but I haven't lived that yet. So Joyce, you can speak to that.
She sounds like she's so old. She is
well,
like
I
a
brought
runner.
A crossword,
you are
actually.
Fit,
I
want
to
healthy.
Share with you a crossword.
I know. There's no video on this. People are going to think you're like this old lady with a cane.
well, I'm gonna do it again. I'm gonna refer you to another verse. Isaiah 31:1 says, "Woe to you who go down to Egypt for help." You were just saying, if you can't do it, ask for help. "Woe to you who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses and trust in the multitude of your chariots and the great strength of your horsemen, but you do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord." Mm-hmm. So I would say we all need help. We all still have dark days and difficult times. I don't have four little children in my house anymore, but I still have things that are struggles for me at age 64, and woe to me that I go anywhere else for help rather than to the Holy One of Israel and ask the Lord. So another one is Psalm 33:16. I think that's right. Yeah, that's right. "No king is saved by the size of his army, and no warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all his great strength, it cannot save." I just know there's nothing else for me out there. So if it takes me 2 weeks to get through a verse of 5 words, then that's fine with me. I'll spend 2 weeks memorizing a verse of 5 words because woe to me that I'd look to something else for help and not look to the Lord. So yes, ask the Lord for help. Mm-hmm. Be willing to go slow at it. I was telling somebody, Marcy, I think it was you somewhere, or Lisa, was it you? That I'm a runner, and my disclaimer is if you see me out on the trail, you say, she's not a runner.
It's called jogging. Yeah.
She wears running shoes, but she's not a runner. But I think I'm a runner, so just let me think that, you know. But I'm not as good at it as I used to be, you know. I'm way slower. It takes me so much longer if I've been out of pocket for a week or two and traveling or something. I haven't been running, then it takes me forever to get back to it. I get back out there on the trail and think, I feel like I have never run once in my life. And I've been running for years. So it's just one of those things. But I'd stay out there. I was out there yesterday. You know, I'll be out there today. You know, just plodding along because I know it's good for me. Mm-hmm. And I know that's where you find life. The proverb says they are life to those who find them and their health to a man's whole body. So I think that means emotional and mental health as well, you know, that you're refreshed by that. Mm-hmm. Whoever came up with the Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. I think he was onto something, whoever wrote that, because it's no king is saved by the size of his army. You know, no warrior escapes by his great strength. So there's all the king's horses and all the king's army, all that the world has to offer you. You can have it all, and it's not going to put you together again. Mm. So
it's really good.
What about people who just feel like, I don't have the time? Like, I'm too busy. I can speak to this.
I'm the girl.
Well, I can even speak to this, too, because, like I said, 4 kids in 5 years. But one thing that I have found is, like, I need to – so you'll see when I do my little how-to talk. The way I do scripture memory is, like, it's really integrated into my day-to-day life. Like, I really only carve out, I would say, like, 5 minutes in the morning to write my verse and to make sure I know the context. But so much of what I'm doing is, like, when I'm driving, when I'm washing dishes, when I'm changing a diaper, I'll literally say the verse to my kid while I'm changing a diaper, and then driving my kids to and from school, do you guys mind if I practice my verse? My kids will hear me say my verse as I'm cooking, as I'm showering. I have it listed in my shower. So I do integrate it into my day-to-day life, but I think there is still a few minutes that you do need to do for preparation. And for me, a big part has just been taking an honest inventory of my time. I don't know if anyone has ever done like a time log in college. Did anyone else have to do this? No? Okay. Wow. Okay. In my college, they made me do like this time log and a nutrition log where you had to write everything you were eating. And then you also had to like every 15 minutes write what you were doing throughout the day. And it really did change my life because I realized, wow, there were times where I was just piddling away, you know, and that was even before social media. I think now, I mean, it can be so easy to spend an hour on Instagram and not even realize that it's gone by. So I think just taking inventory of your time, if that's something you feel like is holding you back. Okay, what about putting those verses to work? So we've got all these amazing verses in our head. Like, what do we do with them?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think you gave us a really great example, Caitlin, mm-hmm. and how mm-hmm. you're using them throughout your mm-hmm. day, because you're really wanting to employ these things in your discipling relationships. And that's what Joyce has done for me over the years. She referenced that Isaiah 46 passage, and I don't think she remembers this, but mm-hmm. she actually gave me Isaiah 46, 8-11 after a really devastating breakup for me in college. And mm-hmm. so because she had those words on her heart, she was mm-hmm. able to have a ready word of response in my time of discouragement. I've also found that for myself in discipling my own children. We've memorized 1 Corinthians 13 together as a family, and I cannot tell you how many times I've had an opportunity to come in on my kids who are squabbling and fighting and to say, hey, what is love? Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way like you are with this little block tower.
Yes.
You know? So I think using scripture in discipling relationships is one of the primary ways that I use that, whether it's with young women that I'm discipling or my own children. And then I would also say I employ the verses that I'm memorizing in prayer so much. Yes. You know, I have a friend who is discouraged. I'm using Psalm 3:3 to send her a message. Hey, I'm praying that the Lord would be like a shield around you, that he would be your glory and the lifter of your weary head today. I'm also using it to pray over my children. You know, every night my daughter, Davy, she asked me to pray that God would take away her fears. It's like one of those knee-jerk things, like she has to have it before bed. And so every night I have the opportunity to pray a whole multitude of scriptures over her. About fear, Isaiah 41:10 is a great one. Well, Lord, we pray that Davy would not fear knowing that you were with her, that mm-hmm. she would not dismay knowing that you were her God, that you would strengthen her and help her and uphold her with your righteous right hand, Lord. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the ways that I put them to work throughout the day.
I feel like, Joyce, you've always just said, it's so useful and so practical for me.
Yes, it is. So useful and practical, and it's so everydayness for me.
I'm laughing because you'll think that Joyce is saying something, and then you realize when you're reading your Bible that it's actually a verse.
I know. It's true. And that's why I say, like, you meet these people, and you're like, wow, you are so smart. You're so wise. And again, you are really.
I've only just memorized
scripture. But I realize that exactly. Well, both of you, and you really are very smart people. Mm. But, like, you're like, wait, you're just reciting. But that's like literally the author of all wisdom. So, mm-hmm. like, this is kind of the shortcut, guys. If you want people to think you're wise, like, just memorize scripture and then recite it. They really are wise. Life hack.
Well, I want to touch on the prayer piece of it. I think as far as being practical, I know you all have children, and some of you have adult children, some of you have little children, but you have children and you may have grandchildren, and I know your heart's desire for your grandchildren is to see them walk with God throughout their lifetime. So I think it's great when you say, well, I want to pray for my kids. Well, yes, pray for your kids. Great. You should pray for your kids. But I don't know if you will improve on or have a wiser prayer, to use Caitlin's terminology, than praying scripture for them. So find a verse that you want to pray for each of your children, each of your grandchildren, whatever, each of your children's spouses, all the above, and just pray that for them. A couple of ones that I used when my children were younger, it was 2 Corinthians 11:3. I'm afraid, as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, that somehow your hearts may be led astray from your pure and sincere devotion to Jesus. So even if I saw in them a pure and sincere devotion to Jesus, I'm afraid that by the serpent's cunning, they're going to be led away from that. Because as perfect of a world as you create for your kids, as far as you're going to, maybe you're going to keep them in a Christian school, and you know, you live in the neighborhood where you know the kids they play with, and you know the homes that they're in, and you, or maybe you're homeschooling or whatever, you cannot create a perfect enough environment to keep the enemy out. The Garden of Eden was a perfect environment. God created that for Adam and Eve, and the enemy did not remain out of that garden. So the enemy will come into the garden of your children's lives, and as younger children and adult children, and what are you doing to combat that and to battle that? And I think to pray for them is huge. A couple of the ones I've used, if you want to write these down, from some of my grandchildren, 1 Chronicles 11:9, and here I'm pulling from the Old Testament again. You're hearing me with these Old Testament verses because it's so rich. David became more and more powerful because the hand of the Lord was on him. So pray for your kids. They'll become more and more powerful in what is right, standing up for what is right. Why? Because the hand of the Lord is on them. 1 Chronicles 21:8-9, that they would acknowledge the God of their father and follow him in full, serve him with a wholehearted devotion. Mm. Acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion the rest of their lives. Deuteronomy 33:26, that they would know that he rides across the heavens to help them and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is their refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Ruth 2:12 is a good one. Mm-hmm. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you've come to take refuge. Pray that they will come to take refuge under his wings. You have little girls? Pray that they will find refuge and self-worth and value and promise and comfort and all those things they're looking for, that somebody will give them. Somebody will pseudo make them feel important. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody will reach out to them somewhere along life. You want to pray that under the wings of his refuge, that's where they find those things. That's where they find their value. And somebody will, I tell young moms, somebody will value your little girl. Somebody will make your little girl feel valued. And it better be you, you know, and it better be finding refuge in the promises and in the steadfast character of God in their lives. So that's a great verse, Ruth 2:12, to pray that under the shadow of his wings that they'll find that refuge. So those are practical things. Just taking the scripture and just praying it. You know, yes, I think we should pray as we go. I think we should pray without ceasing, but I don't know that you'll improve on memorizing a verse and praying that for your kids. I don't know if you'll articulate something better than what's in here. So that's a reason to do it, if for no other reason, memorize scripture just in order to pray for your children and grandchildren.
I love that. Okay, we are almost time for break, but let's do a quick Q&A. Does anyone have a question for Joyce or Hunter before we break? Okay, yes, go for it. Do we want to? Oh, yes. Would you do those? Yeah, would you say those again so people can write them down?
Yeah, 1 Chronicles 11:9, Ruth 2:12.
Yes.
1 Chronicles 21:8-9. Deuteronomy 33:26. And one I didn't tell you was Philemon 1:7. It's one I used when I got to share with Hunter. Actually, she was doing a scripture memory workshop last year, and I got to say at the end of it, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you have refreshed the hearts of God's people." Mm. So that was Hunter. That's her life. That was her that day, but that's her life as well. So it gave me great joy because she had refreshed the hearts of God's people. That's what Paul said to Philemon.
I love that. That's good. Did you get those written down? Anyone need to repeat it slower?
Okay. 1 Chronicles 21:8-9.
Oh, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning.
Yes, 2 Corinthians 11:3.
That's one that I have really taken to praying for my kids, and it's just one of those desperate prayers that you pray, like, "God, please don't let my kids be deceived from their pure and sincere faith." Yeah.
2 Corinthians 12:15 also, it says, "So I will very gladly spend everything for you, and I will expend myself." Mm-hmm. So we spend a lot on our kids, but expend yourself for your kids in your prayer closet.
Hmm.
Yes? Do you feel like you got better at this over time?
Yes.
Okay. Do you feel like you got better at this over time?
Yes.
I feel like I've gone through seasons. You know, I've been really good in some seasons, and I think just with the ebb and flow of life, there's other seasons
that I haven't been as good at remembering. Mm-hmm. And so, but I would just encourage you to persevere because, it's all worth
like Caitlin said, none of it returns void.
Yes. And memorization begets more memorization, for sure. My first verses were so hard. But once it's kind of like, I think running is a good example, but like once you kind of get used to it, once you figure out your rhythm and your routine and a few little tips and tricks, I feel like it gets, not to say easy, but like, you know, it's like I said, it's really not that hard, I feel like. But it does feel very hard before you start. It's a great question. So it gets better and easier. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Do you have any tips for memorizing, like, the reference, the book of the Bible and the numbers? Yeah, I know. I always asked you. I know she doesn't have a system.
No. It's not because she doesn't have a system, but she just has so much scripture memorized.
I know.
That she has a hard time remembering the
reference. That's sometimes, that's true.
So do I. I do a lot of sing-song stuff. So if you can remember, like, a popular song or a rhyme, you can just add that reference in, but it is harder when you're doing longer passages, because oftentimes you won't know which verse you're memorizing if you're memorizing a whole chapter at a time. So ultimately, you just remember, we talk about this and joke about this all the time whenever we can't remember a reference. Mm-hmm. The references were not in the original text. And so they're there for our referencing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't remember the reference, it's not like you're memorizing the verse when you have 3-6 in your brain. So,
yeah, the references were not inspired.
The references were not inspired.
Yes, that's true. I think knowing context is something that I, like I said, I really try and focus on knowing the context. Because even if I do forget the reference, I can remember, oh, Moses said this to the people after they were brought out of slavery. You know, and I know the context. I know that's probably somewhere around Numbers, you know. And so I'm able to sort of know. So I think that's helpful. There's also, like I said, I haven't gotten into this yet, but my husband was really into memorization when he was in high school. It was, you know, very, like, whatever, for studying reasons. But there's it's called, like, PEGS and the major system. Did anyone else do this? Have, like, a major in college that required a lot of memorization? Okay, but you basically, like I said, I haven't utilized this yet, but it's something worth considering if it's something that's of value to you, is you kind of create these, like, images in your mind. So, like, and you associate each number with an image. So, like, verse 23, you might think, like, Michael Jordan, and you would, in your mind, you would think of, like, Michael Jordan saying this verse as you're trying to memorize it. Like I said, none of us have really, I think, used any of those things, but I think for some people who do memorize tons and tons of information, there's kind of all those little hacks out there that you can look into. But I feel like to me repetition is huge. Just saying it over and over again helps.
Yeah, I think that's a really great encouragement that Caitlin offers, just to try different things.
Yeah.
See, like, what's going to work best to help develop those neural pathways in my brain?
Yes.
So for some people, it may be like a song or a chant. For some people, it may be like emphasizing one word in a voice, in a verse. The Lord is my shepherd.
Yes.
The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need.
Yes.
Like, going through and just trying different tactics of memorization might help you. And again, you're going to be working on the verse as you practice those to see which ones really kind of stick for your particular kind of brain.
Yeah, I love that. I think context is king, too, just knowing who said the verse, who they were saying it to, when they said it, and that's a lot of how I make them stick in my mind. Go for it.
What you just showed us in the way that you memorize, when you use this term, sing-song.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sing song.
So I love rap and rhyme, and I joke around a lot that I listened to way too much rap in high school, and the Lord is redeeming it to help me employ that in my scripture memory. So for my kids, we'll do, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights, just stuff like that. So if you're simple and you don't have, you know, a background in, I don't know,
rap music,
too much rap music, then you can take a simple nursery rhyme.
Yes.
And you can just say, like twinkle, twinkle, little star.
Mm-hmm.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, praise the Lord, you know.
Yep.
So you can use different things and just test it out and see if it works for you. There's also a lot of wonderful resources available on Spotify, if you're wanting to get started. There's a whole host. Slugs and Bugs is one of my favorite for kids. Seeds Family Worship, Verses Project. There's all these different ones that are literally straight scripture set to song. So you can just be listening to it throughout your day. If you have a newborn, I love Scripture Lullabies. There's so many. I can't stop. The Honey for the Heart by the Lockwoods.
Mm-hmm. Johanna Musgrave.
I know, right there we have it here.
Johanna Musgrave.
Yeah, has a CD. If you don't have it, you're probably not a believer. So.
Okay, we're going to scratch that from the recording because that's not true.
Oh, yeah. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Yeah, I would echo. I think song is really useful. And I just heard this, but like there's like the Song of Moses at the end of Deuteronomy where he used song to help cement these truths in people's minds. So I even thought, okay, and obviously the Psalms, the same way. It's literally two songs. So God designed our brain to learn really well with song. So I think songs and beats are really helpful.
I just want to share, you guys are so inspiring.
Oh, thank you.
But I learned two songs when Lisa was just born, my first son, that's 50 years ago.
Wow.
And like to scripture.
Huh. That's amazing.
I'll always recall the words when I put it to music.
That's amazing. For 50 years, you still remember those verses. That's incredible.
I also love the picture, too, how, you know, when we sing, our theology and our understanding of who God is in his word should lead us to live lives that sing and testify of his truth. And so I love the physical act of singing because these wonderful truths ought to lead us to worship. And so that's what I often remember when I take these truths and employ them in song.
Love that. That's great. Yes. Okay, yeah, discipleship and mentoring.
You wanted this question.
I know. Joyce is an incredibly effective mentor and discipler. And I think that for you, it's just, it comes so naturally. I feel like it's always within the context of friendship. It never feels like a formal
thing. Yeah, it doesn't. It's just, it's something I grew up with. And the year was around 1973. The University of Arkansas, a girl there, her name was Diane. And Diane had just become a believer through one of her sorority sisters. And Diane, her sorority sister said, well, now that you're a believer, you need to come to a local church. So she came to a local church. And that local church said, well, now you need to be involved in one of our ministries. So she got involved in the student ministries, like the high school ministry. So Diane said, okay, I'll do that. And so she goes to student ministries. And they said, well, you need to be discipling somebody. And Diane was like, okay, I don't know what that is, but sure, I'll disciple somebody. So they assigned her a girl to disciple. So do you know what happened to Diane? Diane went on to disciple young women for the next 50 years of her life. Mm. Married, she was an engineer. She married an engineer. They had four kids, you know, great family. Do you know what happened to the girl that she discipled, that she was assigned to? That girl is me. Yeah, so I grew up with that, you know, and I grew up with it from my sophomore year in high school. And so it's a foreign thing to me to think, wow, not to have I have a mentor now who's older than me that I walk with, or that walks with me. So it's just a foreign thing to me to think not to have something like that in your life. If you don't have it, you need to find it, you know, and it's okay to ask for it because I've had to ask for it from time to time when I've been in different seasons and moving to different places in life. So it's a joy to walk with people, and it's a joy to have been walked with. You know, so that's my story. That's why I'm a believer in mentoring and discipleship. Great question.
Yeah. It's just like, I feel like you said too, like it's the family of God. We have big sisters and mothers in the faith. And
I think the more and more that I'm invested in those kind of relationships, the more I want to know God's word. Because the more I want to offer them principles that are going to like outlast any practice that I can offer. I think I'm often tempted to look to, you know, on Instagram and stuff like that, we get all these practical tips. For how to be better and how to do things more efficiently. But we want to be rooting all of our advice and the things that we are passing down to the next generation in the principles of God's word. Because we all know everybody's told us to do something this way or that way, and it hasn't worked for us, right? And that's why with this panel, even, we want to encourage you. The exhortation in Scripture is to keep the words of God on your heart. It's not to write them on a note card. but how are you going to go about keeping the words of God on your heart? So you want to root that practical advice in the principles that you find in Scripture. And how are you going to know the principles if you don't commit them to your own, like if you don't put them on your own heart?
Yes, so good. I still remember when I had my second kid, I remember texting Hunter. I was like, okay, I'm about to have my second baby. Any advice? And I was hoping for sleep schedules or...
I don't know what I said.
Oh, I know exactly what you said. You said, press into Jesus. And I was like... okay, like, how do I get them to nap at the same time? Like, I thought I was going to get something else, and all I got was Preston and Jesus. And honestly, I was real disappointed. But flash forward 6 years later, and I'm like, wow, Hunter gave me really good advice because that is the only thing that is true. So she walked the talk. All right, go for it. Yeah, how do you do your review system?
Do you want an answer from the oldest person up here?
You do have a lot of scripture to review, so.
I have mine written in journals, and they're just verses, so I don't have to read, like, you know, pages and pages of what I learned about that verse. So I find that I don't review every verse. I don't have a system for that every week I've reviewed all of my verses. I don't even know how many there are. So I just know that I know them, and then when something comes up and somebody's in a particular situation, I remember being in that situation or knowing somebody in that and knowing I memorized a verse. I think it was in Isaiah, or I think it was in Ezekiel, or I go back to that. I go back to my scripture memory journal. I find it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I have it. There it is. Mm-hmm. So I may not be able to say every single verse that's in my whole journal, you know, in one setting, but I know them, and I'd have to go back and look at them once and then review. So that's how I just keep them reviewed in that way. I keep a log of them. I know where they are. I know about where things are in my journals, and I go back and review them that way.
There are certainly formalized systems of review, and I've had seasons in which I'm able to utilize those formalized systems of review, and I think they're really helpful because you are able to recall those scriptures to mind more readily. They're top of mind. However, I am not in a season in which I can formally review all of the scriptures that I have memorized. And so I just, my encouragement is that, you know, the Lord will bring to mind. And so don't be discouraged. I have many verses that I have forgotten. In fact, I've memorized some books that I've forgotten. I cannot recite any longer. And I just take heart knowing that, you know, I do know about where to go if I need some encouragement in that vein. And also, I just trusting that he's using whatever it is that I'm committing to memory at the present to keep his words on my heart. So it's not about the number of verses that you have memorized or how readily you're able to recite them. Certainly, I would encourage you to review if you have time. But if you don't, it's okay.
I think that's so true. And I think that kind of prohibits a lot of people from memorizing because they think, oh gosh, I did it in the past and then I forgot. Therefore, it was wasted time.
No.
And not true at all. Just the time you spent memorizing. And then it's still, I always think, I'm like, it's still in that toolbox for the Holy Spirit to use. Like, it's still able to come to mind when you need it. He really will. So that's an excellent question. And we're going to do like a how-to section later. So we'll tap on a few of those options you have. But I think the key thing really is, like, it is still so worth it, even if you forget every bit of it, because it has still changed your heart and your mind. Okay, any more? Oh, yeah, one more. Good, yeah. Yes. Yes. What translation do you guys like? Or how do you do it?
I'm in a season of humbling myself to change translations mm-hmm. because my local church uses a different translation than I do, and I want to serve my local church. So that really stinks for me because I love the ESV, and I've memorized a lot in ESV. And in fact, if you're looking just for a great translation that has a lot of resources, ESV has a lot of resources that are readily available on Spotify and all these different things. But I'm changing over because I want to serve my local church. You also can stay with a version that's precious to you, which is what Joyce has done. And so you want to share about your 1984?
Yes.
You can only buy it on eBay now, guys.
That's the exact year, actually. She's right. It's NIV 84 is my favorite. So I don't know why. It's probably just where I started. I don't think it's better than any other one. It's just where I have most of my verses are memorized there. So, and I just gravitate toward that one.
We have a host of great translations available to us. We have just a wealth of riches. And so I would say my encouragement would be just to pick one. And it is easier to stick with one.
Yes.
It's harder to make this shift.
And I will echo, I think it is definitely easier to pick one, but I am actually a hopper. I have memorized in all sorts of different translations. I'm currently memorizing one in Good News UK, which is like, I don't even own that Bible. But I, when I'm trying to find a verse, I'm actually memorizing Habakkuk right now. Ironically, that same verse, and I'm memorizing it in that translation. I will go to Bible Hub. I'll type in the verse I want to memorize, and I just kind of read through them all and see which one just flows better for me, which one makes more sense for me. So I'll do that. Or also, I really love memorizing to songs. So if I decide I'm going to memorize a certain verse, I will type that into Spotify and I'll listen to all the songs that people have written about it, and I will just go with whatever translation they picked. So I will do whatever they have done in the song because it makes it easier to memorize. So I think there's an area where there's a ton of freedom. So I think best practice is pick a translation and stick with it. But I think there's also a ton of freedom. And I feel like our church is great because they use a lot of different translations up on the screen, so you'll get to see a variety of options. Any more questions before we break? Oh, yeah, go for it. Oh, yeah, Habakkuk first. It is very powerful.
I think it's 3:17 through 19.
Yep. Is that right? Yes. Yeah, very powerful. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. And you're about to hear it from a panel of even more people. Any more questions? Okay, awesome. Let's do a quick, so 5-minute break. You can go to the restroom, get up, move around. And also, I would say, look at your verse. Try and say those words to yourself. Feel free to mumble them to yourself. Say them over and over again. But we'll meet back here, let's say, at 10:57. Do a little 5 minutes. Wiggle around.
Psalm 127:1. Do not fear, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am.
Because now everyone's like talking. That was. And everybody, come back. There's more.
I will uphold you with my.
I know exactly. Like, actually, we're here to hang out. Okay, how do I get people to... All right, guys, let's go ahead and take a seat. Let's get back. Hello. Sorry, guys. Yep. All right, if I were trying to gather up a bunch of children, I would say something to the effect of, like, alligator, alligator, chomp, chomp. Does anyone else?
Yes.
Teacher? Okay, alligator, alligator, chomp, chomp. Okay, you're like, we are not kindergartners. But it is, you know, that's the best I can do. I don't know how else to get people to sit back down. And I maybe regret would be having a break when we only have 30 minutes to go. So we're going to power through the rest of it, even though I know everyone's so excited to chat and so energized. So I know, we still have a few more things. I want to make sure you guys leave here with some practical tips. And we have even more amazing people to hear from, which is so incredibly excited, and I'm so pumped. So, yeah, thank you guys seriously so much for just for coming and for all of this. I know it's just been incredible and amazing to, I think, hear from people who've been doing it for a lot longer than we have. So Allie and I met literally in the parking lot at Fellowship, for real, because she was pulling her 4 kids out. You have triplets and a baby. Your husband is a doctor, so he was gone. And I was like, oh my gosh, that girl. I have to be friends with her because that is impressive that she is here at the 8:45 service on a Sunday with no husband and triplets and a baby. So that is how we became friends. She is kind of like, I would say, like, you're our, like, a type A, organized person, and I'm sort of our, like, free, go with the flow, let's just figure it out. So we're going to kind of talk through some of the ways to do memorization, some of the practical ways. For people who I would say were both just very, like, busy, average, regular people, but we had probably 2 styles that we can share with you, and just will leave you with some more practical tips. Again, this is not prescriptive. I don't want you to leave here thinking, I have to use the note card, or I have to use the app, I have to do the Spotify, I have to use ESD, whatever it is, there is tons of freedom, there's tons of flexibility, there's lots and lots of ways to do this, but we're just going to share with you a couple of them, and hopefully after seeing all of these different ideas, you'll have an idea of some of the ways that might work for you, and you can kind of implement them in your own scripture memory routines and habits. So number one thing is start simply and simply start. That's one thing I hope you take away is start simply and simply start. Don't take on a huge chunk of scripture or don't take on a big audacious goal. Think something small. We're obviously all doing this one verse, but even the next one, just starting simply and simply starting. So these I have up here are 4 what I would call like types of Bible memorization. So I think we have sort of our single verses in that corner, and that's probably what we're all familiar with. That's going to be our Malachi 3:6. It's our single verse with our reference, and we know that verse, and that's great. There's also something called like orality or storytelling, which to me has become my absolute favorite because I've got a bunch of kids, I'm with them in the car all the time, and that is just memorizing some of the stories that are in the Bible and telling them, still word for word, but in a storytelling fashion. So I love all the parables of Jesus. I actually have a list right here that I have my phone number at the bottom of your handout, so you can text me or call me or email me or whatever, and I can send this to you. But these are 100 Bible stories to memorize by length. Some are as few as 90 words or a couple of verses. And I just think they're really fun. I'll show you the verse that I'm actually memorizing right now, and this will give you a glimpse into how I do it. I print it out and I laminate it. But this is a story that I'm telling to my kids, and they ask me over and over again, "Mom, tell me the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector." They have no idea that it's in Luke 18:9 through 14, but they love to hear it. So I'll even show you kind of the way I will share it with them. All right, guys, Clary, George, gather up. I've got a good story to tell you guys. All right? Two men, they went over to the temple to pray. One of them was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer: "I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everybody else. For I don't cheat, I don't sin, and I don't commit adultery. I am certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income." But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow. And I'll have George, "You want to beat your chest, George?" You know, and he'll beat his chest, saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." So that was, when I have it memorized, memorization of scripture and quoting of scripture, but it is a story and it's fun. So I would say for anyone who has kids, stories are so fun to memorize with them, to memorize yourself, and then to share those stories as you're driving, wherever. Everyone loves to hear a story. I actually got this whole list from someone who's a missionary in Thailand who said that, especially overseas, they're kind of just like, in this particular area where he was, there's been a lot of Western missionaries. They kind of felt like when you would quote scripture, it felt very like religious and fake, whereas if you would just tell them a story, like they're interested. Like, "Oh, can I tell you a story about a huge whale who ate a guy?" Like, "All right, sure," you know? Or, "Can I tell you a love story?" Like, people are interested in hearing that. So anyway, I would just say that's a branch of memorization that you could consider. And for me, like, I hop between all of these guys. And then there's extended memorization, and that's when we're talking about memorizing whole books, whole chapters, whole passages of scripture. I know that sounds super intimidating, but I actually think it's pretty easy because each of those verses is going to link to the next one in your mind. I have on your handout Andy Davis, An Approach to Extended Memorization, the 26-page handout. You can get it online, just Google it, and it's free. And he walks you through a step-by-step process. And I think that's really cool. Like, I just memorized my first chapter, and it's just really fun to know, wow, I know the whole chapter of James. And it's just, I think when you have it in your heart, too, even if you forgot it and you can't recite it, and Andy Davis intentionally, he doesn't even review. He, after he says, memorizes the verse, he says it 100 times, and then he kisses the book goodbye. He doesn't review intentionally because he knows that it's still in his heart, and still, when he's sitting under the word preached, he can remember it, you know, and knows that I have those verses. So that's the extended memory part. And then overview outline is just another, like I said, another kind of way to introduce memorization into your routine that kind of spices things up, and that would be something like memorizing all the books in the Old Testament or all the books in the New Testament, or something I just do with my kids that I absolutely loved, and even Betsy is able to do it, and she's three, which is amazing, is we memorize 40 key events in the Bible. So for me, this has been great to know like the history, like kind of the overview. So I'll see if I can say some of them for you today. Creation, fall, promise, flood, Tower of Babel, Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, Jacob, Joseph, slaves in Egypt, Moses, Red Sea, wilderness, Jordan River, Joshua, conquest of the promised land, Judges, Samuel the prophet, King Saul, King David, King Solomon, kingdom split, prophets speak, Israel conquered by Assyria, Judah conquered by Babylon, exiles return, temple rebuilt, 400 years of silence, Jesus is born, lived a perfect life, disciples follow Jesus, died on the cross, buried in the tomb, Jesus is resurrected, ascends to heaven, Holy Spirit comes, and the gospel is shared through all the earth. The church waits, Jesus returned, kingdom of God forever. But there are 40 key events, but it covers the entire story of Scripture. And for me, it's been really helpful, and for my kids too, to be able to place things when we're, you know, reading, like, okay, wait, Habakkuk. Who's Habakkuk? Where does that fall in? You're like, okay, that's a prophet, so that's going to be, you know, after the kingdom's divided. So I think some things like that can be really useful just to memorize the whole arc of Scripture, or I think even just knowing, like, the Gospel of Luke or Acts. Like, some of those are written really well chronologically, so you can memorize, okay, what's a key event in all of these, so I can know Jesus was born, and then this happened, and then this happened. So anyway, those are just four ideas just to float around with. Again, none of this is prescriptive. You have to do all of these, but these are just some things you can just play with and think about when you're thinking about your memorization journey, your meditation journey. You can kind of toy around with all of these guys and I think just see what works for you. So this is, again, kind of my pattern, one person's pattern, two people's pattern, and we're going to have more people who are going to share. But again, it's totally going to be fit for you guys. I always choose the verse, choose something that you're like really drawn to, choose a translation. You guys know my process, but I think it's really just choosing one that you like. That's the big thing. Just choose something you like. Choose something you enjoy. I write the verse on the note card just like you guys just did, and then I make sure I know the context. And then when I'm in the memorization process, I want to see it everywhere. Allie, tell me how you do it, because I feel like you are queen of seeing it everywhere.
Okay. Is this on? Okay. So basically, write out your verse on your note card, mm-hmm. or you can, I think you've printed it.
Before. Yeah, I do. I print mine and laminate it.
Yeah, so. There you go. But I just try to put it where I'm already doing things. So put it by your sink when you're doing your makeup or drying your hair. I mean, you can have like two verses done by the time.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, by the time you're done drying your hair. Put it by your laundry while you're folding. By the sink while you're doing dishes.
That's good.
Let's see. I was actually at Hunter's house the other day, and I saw in your shower you had it printed and in a Ziploc bag. Does it just stay on there? Okay.
It's warm.
So have in the shower, because what else? I mean, I think about in the shower, I'm like, did I wash my hair? I don't know. So it's like you can fill your mind with Scripture while you're taking a shower.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. Another way is on just the normal Bible app.
Yeah.
I was going to show you, but there's too many texts. You can click on the verse, and you can click choose image, and you can like design it.
Ooh,
and it can be your background. So every time you go to your phone, you're seeing, this is Nehemiah. Or no, not Nehemiah, Jeremiah 1, 18 through 19.
Oh, that's good.
So okay. It's just right there in my face.
I love that.
And then Caitlin already said this, but putting the first letter of each word on your hand.
Yes.
Because you're just, you know, you're carrying a baby or you're doing whatever. You see your letters to remind you.
I love that. Okay, and the next one is just finding all of those moments throughout your day where your hands are busy and your mind is unoccupied. I feel like there are things like that for all of us when we're going to walk our dog. What's like the craziest place you've ever memorized Scripture? What's like something where you're like, wow, I would never have thought like this would be what I'd be doing here is memorizing Scripture.
Okay, so yesterday,
yesterday
at the BCC, the Bentonville Community Center, my kids had swim class and I put the baby in childcare. I was like, I am not swimming today. Well, do you know that it's really hot in there if you're not in a swimsuit? So I'm literally like sweat going down my bra, but I'm memorizing Ezekiel 38:45.
It's like redeemed moment where you'd normally like, probably be complaining because you're like, this stinks. I don't like this. But
and I mean, I'm like, the lifeguard's got it. I don't have to be watching my kids, but I have to be in there. So I just had my verse and it was just going over and over in my mind.
I love that.
And Joyce had taught us the context. So I kind of knew what was going on.
I love that. And then for me, I put go deep. Like when I'm memorizing, especially a passage, I love to just search on YouTube for like my favorite pastors at churches that we've attended in the past and see like, okay, what did that person teach on James? Or what did that person teach on James? And you can hear more context or just reading that verse over and over and over again, I think is really useful. And then I love your 3P method. Would you do a quick overview of it? We only have like 5 minutes.
Super fast. It's actually 5 P's.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm missing. Shockingly, I missed a few of them. Okay, go for it.
Okay, first P is perimeter, which really just means context. Okay. And she already talked about that. The next one is pulverize. So you're going to tear it apart. Hunter talked about this, like emphasizing different phrases in the verse.
Yes.
And kind of going through, sometimes I'll bust out Blue Letter Bible app to see what that word even means in Greek or Hebrew, or just dictionary.com.
Oh.
Just to get another,
that's a great idea.
Like what's a synonym to this word?
Oh, that's actually really good.
Paraphrase. So then after you've kind of dug through the verse, like how can you re-say it in your own words?
Yes.
and then personalize. So you could put your name, like if it says you or he, put your name. So an example is he brought Allie to the banqueting house, and his banner over Allie was love. Mm. It's kind of powerful to see your own name in that verse. Or you can personalize it more like, I'm a recovering perfectionist and performance-driven person, so I'm like, man, his banner over me is love. I don't have to perform for him.
I love that.
So you can kind of go deeper with it.
Yeah.
And then the last one is prayer. So praying that verse for that's yourself, true. For your kids, whoever.
Yeah.
Because number one, perimeter or context. Two, pulverize. So tear it apart. Three, paraphrase. Four, personalize. And five, prayer.
I love that. Okay, so we've kind of got our preparation stage. That's where we write our verse. We put it everywhere. We've gotten our song if we're going to, you know, have a song. The memorization stage. And now we're kind of in that recitation and review stage. I feel like, again, this is something that can feel really tricky to people. So for me, recitation, I always recite to someone once I've got the verse. Usually it's like my husband or my kid, would you listen to me say this verse? Sometimes for a longer one, like I'll record myself saying it and send it out to some of my scripture memory buddies, just so I can get their applause, their gold stars, their snaps. Because it does make you feel good, you know, and you're like, okay, I did accomplish something. It took a little bit of effort. My favorite one is I put Go Active, and I actually will record myself saying the verse in the voice memos of my phone. And I listen to that at 2x speed throughout the day. And then whenever I'm reviewing it, I will actually have that verse in my earbuds when I'm going for a walk. And then I will say it as I'm walking, but I'm also hearing it in my earbuds so that it corrects me. You know what I mean? So like I'll say it at the same time. So I think that's a great way, especially if you want to go for a walk, if you want to make sure you're kind of killing two birds with one stone, you can be hearing it as well as doing something. What about, like, I feel like there's pretty classic, like, paper options and then digital options. What would you say for someone who wants like a good strategy?
Okay, so there are a few of those, but I've done it where you just have the note card and you have a ring, so that way keep them all together. And I've done it where there's a system of tally marks. I don't actually do this right now, so that's the beauty of this. There's so much freedom.
Yes.
Figure out what works for you.
Yes.
So one way is actually Joyce, I don't even know where she is in here, her best friend, Jody, does it this certain way. And Caitlin can text you a picture if you want this. But one example is you are going to recite this verse one time a day for 7 weeks. So you're going to make, how many tally marks is that? I don't even know. 7 times 7. 49. There we go.
Yes, math.
49 tally marks. And then you can move that to a weekly ring, and you're going to recite it once a week for 6 months. And then you are going to move that to another ring after you do all that. You're going to do it once a month for 7 years. I haven't done this, but...
But some people
have. It's a great, I mean, this could be a really good way to get started, I think, just to, like, get back in the habit.
Yeah. There's also, like, Charlotte Mason system. Yeah. There's a great note card. Maybe you guys are familiar with it, but you do, like, every other day, and then you do it every Monday, and then every January. So it's the similar system. Spaced repetition is the key. It's just saying it over and over again and letting some time pass between each repetition.
That was how I started initially a few years ago. But now I'm to this. I've been loving this little guy.
Oh, yeah.
It's all together. Okay. And this is Genesis through Lamentations with our study with Joyce.
I love it.
And then Joyce mentioned doing a journal and just reading, reviewing that. And then one other thing would be just attaching a person to that verse you're learning. So forever I will think of my brother and your brother. I don't even know what he looks like.
Yeah.
But
okay, but you pray for him. And I'm so grateful.
Leviticus 11:45. I am the Lord, or I'm the God that brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy as I'm holy.
That's amazing.
And I always see their faces because they both have dealt with addiction and alcoholism. And so he's bringing them out of that.
I know. And my brother's in an amazing place right now, which is so encouraging to think of, like, your prayers are a huge part of that. So I'm so grateful. And truly, there's no more powerful words to pray than scripture. Sincerely, thank you for that.
Yeah.
And then I want to get a rush for our panel up here. But for people who are more tech savvy, who want to use, like, an app, like, is there not an app for this?
Yes. So glad you asked. Okay. Actually, we can thank Nikki or, you right there. There's an app called Bible Memory App. And it really is awesome. It helps you, like, you can learn the verse right there, and you type along with it. So just download Bible Memory app. and you can upload your verses, whatever translation you want.
Yeah.
And then it kind of does the review system for you. Let me find mine real quick. And it'll tell me, in one day, I need to review Ecclesiastes 12:13. And then in 8 days, 2 Timothy 4:18. So it kind of starts, it'll have you do it every day, and then at some point it thinks you're like,
yeah,
really proficient.
And there is like brain science to that too, of how much spacing, which is nice.
And then one other digital is just listening to the music.
I love that.
Or to the verses.
Yes.
Johanna.
Yes, exactly. I think that's huge, is listening to those verses. There's so, I mean, you said, Johanna's music, we literally have a celebrity in the room. According to my children, you are a celebrity. But your music is exceptionally catchy, and I'm really grateful for it. And you do also have the verses in there. So I think I put on your next steps, like a top pick, if you want to do single verses, you have an album on Spotify, which is amazing, and there's 26 verses. They're all really fun. Like, I run to a lot of them. Like, they're just some great upbeat tunes, and there's some more soulful tunes too. But it's a great beat. It has the verse and the reference in there, so it makes it a little easier to remember. I mean, you could memorize 26 verses literally just with your album, and it's so good. So, okay, it's not just us two and just Hunter and Joyce. I actually have a whole crew of people who we have been memorizing with. So would some of you guys be willing to come up here and just share, we have like 13 minutes left, a quick like 60 to 90 seconds, like, okay, this is what scripture memory has meant to me. Would you guys do it? Okay, come on. Okay, perfect. Sorry, guys. You're going to get a few more voices, but this way you'll get just a few more, either whatever you would like to share, like tip or just like rah-rah, you can do it.
Rah-rah, you can do it. I'm Johanna, but I was just going to speak a little bit to, like, if you are creative in the room, and being organized and type A, whatever, they get a better at, but you are also creative. Don't underestimate that. But if you are a musician or an artist or, I don't know, potter, whatever, like, incorporate scripture into your art, because your art is a God-given mode, and it speaks uniquely to you, and you are the only one, you are the own master of your creativity, you know, how you express it. So if you are a watercolorist, like, draw it out. Make art that is a reflection of the scripture that you're memorizing, because it's that, like, hand-eye or voice-ear coordination that really does, like, solidify it for you. And so, rah-rah, you can do it. That was my only thing.
Okay, Nikki, would you share, or Susan, whoever, Nikki, go first. Thank you. I want to hear, because you've been a champ. Nick, you have memorized a ton of verses in a really short period of time. It's amazing.
We've all been doing it. I'm Nikki. There's just so many different ways we've been doing it. We have probably, I think it's, we're up to 66 since September, and that's a group of us, but then that's on top of just Bible study verses we've been doing. It's just, you'll be reading, we're in Isaiah right now in my Bible study, and it was Isaiah 26 we were in, and it was the steadfast mind, he will keep in perfect peace because we trust in him. And then my aunt called me yesterday with news about she may have like spots on her liver, and that verse, just, I was looking at it that morning and I wrote it down that day. And that was the verse I just started praying over her.
That's amazing.
And that's the verse I will just keep praying over her, and I was able to send it to her. So it just might be something you come across that day in your reading that really just the Lord speaks to you. This book is amazing. It's called Praying Scripture. And this is for your teens, but I have kids ranging from all the ages, and they have Praying Scripture for your children. And Caitlin's the one that...
I was going to say, I will show you. Literally always have it with me.
It's so good. And there's just straight scripture in here that you would pray. So I have, like, for each of the girls, wrote just pages down for where they're at right now, and I just pray this over them. And you continually pray it, you just start memorizing the verses.
Yes.
So, and the Bible Memory app, it's huge. You're bored, you don't look at social media, or you limit your social media use, and instead of that being the first thing you go to in the morning, go to your Bible verse app and just start going through your verses.
The Bible, it's kind of fun because there's like badges and, you know, I love my gold stars apparently.
There's groups, you can have like a group of friends and you can kind of like have challenges and see where everyone's at. So.
It is fun.
Yeah,
that's it. It is very fun. I would just super echo praying the scriptures for your children. I literally cut the pages out and laminated them, and I have it with me everywhere I go because it has But it's amazing because it is. It's truly those little moments that you have that you can just pray the scriptures for your kids. And they even have a section, which I really love, about, you know, these people in the Bible and, like, make George humble like Gideon, you know. Things like that I love to pray for my kids, and I know you do too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's really powerful.
Yeah,
all right, go for it, Susan.
Thank you. Hey, I'm Susan. I'm going to just share a personal side of things with scripture memory and what this great group has meant for me. So I want you to really, really listen to the words in this scripture. And this is one I'm sure I've read it, but I'd never really cared about it until God wanted me to really understand. Without weakening in his faith, we're talking about Abraham here, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. And that's Romans 4:19-22. I feel like I just saw that verse for the first time just a few months ago. And it brought me back to when my daughter, who is now 18, but when I was rocking her as an infant, and God told me, he showed me, this girl's going to have a lot of trouble in her life. And I saw this vision of Satan just pulling her down, and I'm pulling her up. And that verse came to life for me, that I cannot waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, because God told me, you've got to keep pulling her up, because I have plans for her. I have a huge purpose for her. And even still today, her life is messy, and it is not how we thought it would look for our daughter when I have three children. We raised them all in church and shared all the Bible stories and did all the right things. But still, you know, God just works in his own way. And so I will trust. I will be strengthened in my faith, and I will give glory to God. And I am fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he promised for her. That is what scripture is. And when it just comes to life for you like that, like, there's just nothing that anyone could say to me or do to me today that would sway me from that belief. As far as other scripture memory goes, I love the Bible memory app. That's probably my favorite go-to. But even more than that is just praying scripture over my kids, like we've talked about a lot. The Bible app even has a place in there for prayers. Like, you can highlight a verse and let that become one of your prayers. But something personal I did this for each of my three kids, but this is my beautiful Ella, who's 18. I took, like, just all the verses that I'm praying for her, and I just went to a photo editing app and just created this and had this done at Walmart for, like, $10. And I have it in my living room, all three of my kids. And so every time I walk by, I'm not only reminded of God's promises, but they're constantly flowing, like, through my mind, right out my mouth. So I hope that encourages you today.
Thank you
so much for allowing me to share.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. I love the way you pray for your kids. It's amazing. Do you guys want to come? You guys have been doing it for longer. Heather or Shelley?
Without crying. I'm just so impressed, really, just at your hunger and your thirst for righteousness, for his word. But I think rhythms for me is setting, like, when I'm eating, just having a box. I usually keep just a box right there next to the kitchen table, and I'll just bring out the new one that's in every day, and then rotating through three other ones when I'm sitting there. So can't really add anything other than
that's
what you
amazing.
Guys, you know,
yeah.
you guys have already said it.
I love it.
But that would be just finding those rhythms that you're doing, so it's a habit, in taking those moments. But keep doing it. Keep hungering and thirsting for it. But.
I love that. Do you have anything, Heather?
Yeah.
Put you on the spot. Heather
quick,
is amazing.
No.
It's you. You have six children.
I do have six children.
So for those of us who think we're busy, and she homeschools them, which is remarkable.
No, Jesus.
Okay.
He's all
well,
I've got.
That's true. Jesus is a remarkable
I think
one.
I was thinking about specifically with teaching my kids. A lot of times when the Lord speaks to me, I'm spending time with them in the Word.
Yeah.
So and even leaning on Him, I was telling them this week is a little crazy,
And I was dropping my husband off at the airport, recognizing that I'm going to face the week by myself. Mm-hmm. And the verse came up, John 10:11, and it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep.
Wow.
And then we talked about 2 Peter 1:3, he has equipped us for everything to do with life and godliness. And then in Psalm 61, he says, when my soul is in distress, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And and he says that he gently leads those who are with young in Isaiah. And so all of these things that were locked away years ago, we were talking about, what if you forget? Jesus brought them all to mind.
That's amazing.
And I leaned into them. And I mean, I got home and I sat on the floor in anxiety. Had all my kids gather around and we prayed.
Yes.
And I listened to my 5-year-old pray the scriptures that she has been memorizing.
I love this.
So it doesn't return void.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my encouragement.
That's so good. Melinda, Kristen, do you guys have anything you guys want to say?
Go for it. I'll just say, as a mom with a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, it's contagious. They, my 6-year-old loves the challenge of it to be like, Mom, I know your verse. My 3-year-old does not care, but every morning at breakfast we put on Spotify, we put on Johanna's like ABC scripture, and that actually is the time marker so that we know when it starts, when it ends, we need to brush our teeth. So, it's like 25 minutes as well. But it is so fun. And my sweet husband, who is a very strong believer in God of faith, man of faith in God, he came up to me and was like, hey, can I have a notebook? Which, he's a grown man. You can go to the store and get a notebook. But sure, husband, here's your notebook. And I said, well, what are you going to do with it? And he said, I'm going to memorize some scripture too.
Oh.
And I was like, whoa, that was just cool, something me as a mom doing with the boys and his affection for that. It's contagious. So.
I love that. Oh,
that is so funny because my husband, just in the last week, I looked at his screensaver on his phone and it's a Bible verse, y'all, and he's starting to try to remember. And I'm like, yes. This is so great. I also have what feels like a million kids, only 4. So
only 4.
I don't understand. But just, I feel like the rhythms that we've all talked about, and it's so different for all of us, but I'm still in the stage where I have to literally sit in the bedroom until my 3-year-old falls asleep at night, or he will not stay in his bed. And so I used to use that time literally, I mean, I'm sitting in the dark. I have my phone. There's nothing else to do. So I'm just scrolling, trying to be quiet so he will, you know, fall asleep. And every night now he says, can we do Bible songs? And I turn on Johanna's music, and he knows so many of them.
It's amazing.
And will sing himself to sleep to God's word. And
I
it's just like, it's a game changer, not only for me, but for my children. And I'm, you know, praying these verses over them and knowing that the Lord is attentive to our prayers. Like, his ears, he hears us when we pray. He cares about our suffering. And memorizing all the scripture, you know, it all points back to Jesus.
It all points back to Jesus.
And so on the days that I'm like, God, can I trust you with my kids? Are you trustworthy? Are you faithful in this really hard thing that we're going through?
Yeah.
I can look back on all these verses that are at the top of my mind now.
Yeah.
And I know Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change.
Yeah.
He was faithful then, and he's faithful today.
Mm-hmm.
He was trustworthy then. He's trustworthy today. And having that at the top of my mind, where fear used to be, anxiety used to be, doubt, worry.
Yep.
Now I have scripture, so when I wake up in the middle of the night, I can say
Numbers 6:24-26.
I can pray that over my child when they're scared.
Yep.
You know, and so it's life-giving, and it's not just life-giving to us as individuals. It's life-giving to our children and our husbands and our friends that need encouragement.
Yes.
That moment, we don't have our Bibles on us, but it's okay. Because I can tell you something, I can pray something over you that's going to hopefully encourage your heart. And it's not from me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my opinion. It's not my preference. It's not what I think. It's God's word.
Yes.
And that's air.
That's air
to us. That's life.
That is air.
Good stuff.
Mic'd up. Okay, we are at 11:30. Johanna, would you mind praying us out? And then we will have, everyone will still be here, so you guys can just come up and chat to any of these ladies up here in the front rows, or people who've all been memorizing for a while. So you can come do some Q&As if you want.
Yeah, let's pray. Father, thanks for this time. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is active and moving among us.
that you brought us here and that you've been moving and prompting our hearts to know you better. Lord, we know that you don't change because Malachi says it, but would you enlighten us about why that matters? Would you continue to teach us about your character and why it's such good news that you don't change and that you are loving and steadfast in mercy and grace? Would you empower us with your spirit to be diligent in this thing called knowing you and trying to follow after you, seek the truth in our hearts? We just ask for your strength, that where we have anxiety and fear about starting out or where we are intimidated, Lord, would you minister to us and encourage us? And even as we leave, we ask for just a miraculous settling of scripture on our hearts, that you would prompt us for the next step. We know that maybe whole chapters aren't available to us yet, or we have question marks about what it looks like to incorporate it into our days. But Lord, would you just give us the next step, a reference or a memory to lean into and to start, and that we would walk out in obedience and in courage, that you are going to sustain the thing that you put into effect today. And you care about us knowing you, and you're going to help us know you. You're so kind to do that. And so we receive the gift of your spirit and your leadership in our life, and we thank you for this time. And we ask that a year from now, we would be able to look back on this moment and say, wow, the Lord has walked me through things that I never thought I could do, and I can stand on the rock that is higher than I with confidence in a way I could not a year ago. And we just ask for that timestamp, and we thank you for your faithfulness to lead us in that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you guys so much for coming.
Exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Matthew 23:12. Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus said, I am the way,
I am the truth,
I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6.
One.
have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Oh, who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay Him?
Justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Psalm 37.